Everybody, for bearing with us for a couple of minutes, we have the good news and the slightly less good news to start with. The slightly less good news is that, unfortunately, Andrew Godfrey, who was due to be here this morning and speaking, is unable to be with us, which leaves me with the good news. And it was the good newspaper anyway, so that kind of links, in that Andrew Hawkins. Two Andrews, that's good for us this morning. Andrews has stepped in and will be bringing God's word to us later on, which we're very much looking forward to. We want to start by, if you take up your morning sheet, in the call to worship, what we're going to do is read together. So I'll start and we'll read together the first part of Psalm 23, first four verses. And then as we finish this, I will then finish off the last few verses as we start to think about coming together, being in God's house and lifting our praise to Him. So together we shall read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's stand and sing the first of two songs. First one being Lord Jesus Christ. You have come to us. Let's stand and sing. Just as we stand for a second before we sing our next song, The words that we've just sung started with, Lord Jesus Christ, you came to us. And the last verse finished with, Lord Jesus Christ, I would come to you. And that's very much where we are this morning, coming to him and gathering together to listen to his spirit move through us, to listen to the words he places in our mind and on our heart, that we might hear more of him and less of us around each other, but more of Christ in our lives as we listen through his spirit, interpreting all the things that are going on, making it real to each of us in a very personal way. So let's carry on and sing our second song. Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Maker of heaven and earth and all good things, placing him right where he is and all the things that he does for us. Let's sing together. Psalm 55, it tells us, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. What a promise we have in those Psalms. Who are the righteous? They are the people who have been put right with God. And if this morning we come to our service with our hearts acknowledging that we have done wrong and that only Jesus can make that right, that makes us righteous. That puts us in the place where we can come and serve and we can come and listen and the Spirit can do amazing things in our hearts. Let's just pray as we think those things through. Father, we thank you that this morning we can come before you, each in our very different ways. And Lord, we stand or sit here this morning having come from all sorts of different backgrounds and things that have gone on in our lives. And yet, Lord, we come to this place together. And we sit before you this morning and we ask that your majesty move amongst us, that your spirit touches our hearts as we listen to the words, as we sing the words that have been here for us this morning. Lord, we ask that you will be so touching and moving us that we will be different people as we go forward from this place. That, Lord, your love be flowing out of us as we seek to come and listen to you this morning. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can meet in this way. And thank you that you are here amongst us this morning. Your spirit moving in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Some notices this morning. Please have a look in here. Your new sheets this morning are packed with some extra things to look at. We have... the Society for the Protection of the Unborn Child or Children. So that's the big leaflet. That's what that stands for, the SPUC. I had to search for that. But do look at that. It's for reading to take away with you. And if you want to take part in that, there's a little card in there that you can send off to SPUC. This afternoon, we have our prayer meeting. I do encourage everybody to come and join us there. It's a time when we can meet together. It's a time that we can pray and talk to God and find out what he wants for us as a fellowship. So I do encourage you to come along to that this afternoon. On the inside of the sheet, there's some thank yous about Messy Church that took place, an advance notice, and there are leaflets also at the back for the 10th of April. So please be thinking about who you can invite along and who you can talk to about that. And on Thursday, the 18th of April, we're having a session on in the evening where the local group Artless, who came and did some drama at our away day, are coming to do a presentation called Centurion. And it's the passion through the eyes of a soldier. So please do think and see if you can come along to that. We want to try and fill out the hall that evening. It's in the run-up to Easter, and it's very much looking at the Easter story. So it's really applicable. It's only about an hour long, and it will be in the back hall. So it will be a very big opportunity to bring people and hear the story of Easter in a different way before that Easter weekend. Home groups are on, fellowship groups are on this week. Women Now and Tots & Co, please look at the back of your sheet this morning to tell you more about that. Lots going on in the life of the church. One thing we want to show you now is something that is very much part of something Andrew will talk about later on as well. On Friday evening, we managed to get live our new church website, and it has a range of opportunities for people to find out. Now, we know people find out and look for this church, and they did find it that way. And so this is the new site. Starts with a banner heading that changes at the top, changing lives in Romford, searching for God, let us help you. This is very much aimed at reaching out to folk in our local community. There's a welcome, and then as we scroll down a bit, there are, at the front part, contact us, which tells you all about how to do that. There's a contact form and so on. If you click on small groups for a minute, please. That then starts as we scroll down to go and have a look at all the different things that we do in the church. This is not a finished article. This is where we are now. Literally, it's gone live, and we're starting to add. And if you've got other things that you want to add on here that we can tell folk about what's going on here, please let us know. So there's lots there. We'll go back up to the top, back to home. Okay, thanks. It's getting there. There we go. And down again. So it's just this is just the home site, the home page. Sunday services, information on that. We'll come down again a bit further. All right, we'll look at that. But that tells you a little bit about, we're going to change some of the graphics and images on this, and you'll see some of us taking photos and telling people. But it's about being clear about where we are, what we're doing, and how people can join in. Okay, so we'll come down to two-thirds of the way down. The next banner heading here, recent services and talks. If we look at Sunday services, click on the red button. What you'll see is a list of the last five services, and that's all the services that are there. The list is much, much longer, and you can go back as long as we've got recordings. And we're not just doing the sermon, we're also there including the whole service. A number of folk have said that they really appreciate, and certainly our missionaries abroad appreciate listening to the whole service, so we do that. Okay, thank you. So that's there. Just a couple more things to show you and to share. Okay, as we go down again, just below the main banner, the media archive, don't click on it, thanks, but the media archive on the button on the right, that takes you to where all the talks are, and you can download them and listen to them on your phones on the way to work, or if you're out in the garden, or doing all those sorts of things, you want to plug in and listen to the service, you're very welcome to do it. That's the way to do it. So we come down a little further, getting involved in church life, information about us, what we believe is there, serving others, the different ways that you can serve others. All of those I'd like you to have a look at. If we just roll straight back up to the top, please. And as we go across the menu from home, we won't click on them, but we'll roll over them. You can see that we have other things you can look at. Leadership, people here, what we believe. That goes through our vision, our mission, our link to the FIEC and their statement. What is Christianity? This is really important. If you will click on what is Christianity for me, please. So on our site, what we want to make sure is that as people, there's a video to watch, which we won't do at the moment, but if you roll a bit lower than that, there's an opportunity for people to go onto this site and actually get answers as well about who Jesus is, what we believe, why we believe that, and the story that Jesus goes through, and the effect and what it means for us. And then they can contact us, and we can then take it further from there. Now, that probably, if you just run a little more on the menus, thanks, so that's next to New to Church. The click there, it tells you a little bit about what to expect on a Sunday morning. And then each of those red ones clicks down and all the way through the bottom, tries to give you lots of important information. When folk come to church for the first time, no one's ever quite sure what to expect. So we're trying to be really open and really clear about how we run our services and what we do, what the things are available for children, and so on. Okay, and then we'll just run along the top. So we talk about services, latest news. So there's a latest news link to tell you about things. So we'll just click on latest news. Okay, so Centurion's story is up there. So that's the next one that's coming. And then if you can click on Centurion's story, it will then tell you a little more about what we're doing. Okay, or it will do. There it goes. Some of the banner headings we're going to change once we're taking pictures of our own. But it starts talking, and there's the leaflet that's there and available to go out. And it talks about how to get involved and how to buy tickets and so on. So we try and keep those things up to date. Great, thanks. And church life, courses, events, small groups. Okay, that's all that information is there. Just go back to administrative, look at ministries for a minute. That will then run through, we won't click on those, but that runs through all the different things that we do here and how people can get involved and what they can look at and what they can come and join. Resources on the right, we look at other things, Sunday services, there's a church calendar there. And Sarah's started to keep that already up to date, so have a quick look at the church calendar, please. If you want to catch up on the things that you can't quite sure when things are starting or we can see what's going on, you'll see it more clearly on a laptop or on a phone. But there are already dates on the fellowship groups, right, that are on this week. So you can get more information about that. We're looking to decide whether we put contact information on that link or whether it's through the church office, which it is at the moment. But that's all work in hand. And there are various other resources that you can look at. We won't go looking at the moment, but there's also a link to an online Bible as well. So if somebody hasn't got one or hasn't got that access, they can then get it through here. If you go back to home, please. Okay, so very quick, short walkthrough, a tool which is very open and available to lots and lots of people today. Now, we hope that you'll go away and have a look at that. You don't have a new website address or anything else, the same website address that we've had all along. But what it's there for, and people have been working on this for probably about 3-4 months now, and there's lots of people here doing this, it's about reaching out. It's about being ready to share our faith as we're asked to. What do we believe? How do we believe? What do we do as a church? You're very welcome. And that's what this is about. So I commend you to go and have a look. Do tell us what you think. And if you think there are things we can add to it or change, please do. That would be really good. Let me know. That would be really, really helpful. Okay, I think that was probably the longest notices we've had in quite some time. We had planned to have Andrew come and talk about the good newspaper. So that's the swap this morning. But it's quite opportune, seeing as that happened on Friday night. And a very big thank you to everybody involved in setting that part of our outreach and being clear about what we believe for everybody. Let's sing. Let's stand and let's sing. Servant of God Most High. Let's stand. Thank you. Children will be leaving us next, so let's just bring them before our King. Father, we thank you that you have blessed us as a family with very many children and young people. Father, we ask that this morning, as they go into different parts of the church, that they will hear your word explained clearly and understand what you want them to know. Father, we pray for those who will be sharing and ministering to them, and we ask that you will bless them in and through what they do in your name. Father, thank you for the children and young people you bless this church with. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you. Please, it's for those who have come prepared for it, not for if you're new this morning. We would just love to have you here with us to worship God together. So our colleagues will move amongst you. Thank you. Let's give thanks. Father, we thank you that you give to us in the first place, as we were singing in that song before, that Lord, you give us all that we have, and we're very conscious of that. Father, thank you for this opportunity to give some back, whether it's through the offering this morning or throughout the week, as folk do directly from their accounts. Lord, we ask that this money be used to your will and serve your purposes, both here in this place and beyond its walls, in the local community and much further abroad. Father, thank you for giving us all that you do, and bless that which has been given back. In Jesus' name, amen. Father Abraham has many sons. You know that? I'm not going to suggest we sing it. It's okay. And I didn't warn them anyway. We've been singing it all week at home, because that's what they're going to be doing upstairs. So remember them. If you know Father Abraham had many sons, please ask them what that song is and see if they can sing it back to you later on. I don't know about the older ones, but certainly the younger ones are going to be doing that. We're going to sing, and we're going to take up that thought of giving thanks to our Lord, our God and King, not only for all that we have, but the fact that his love endures forever. What an amazing thing to be singing. And we really want this, as we stand to sing this, to look at the words. Don't just sing the words as words on a screen, but sing them from our hearts as well. His love endures forever. What things to be saying. It's an amazing thing to stand and to sing and to praise God together and to remind ourselves of that his love endures forever. After that, Laurie will come and pray with us, and Doug is going to come and give our reading. So let's stand and let's sing with full bodies and full hearts. Give thanks to the Lord.
Holiness means set apart from sin and set apart for God's glory. It applies to God himself, of course, and he intends it to apply to us also. And there are a number of scriptures that help us to bring this together, and I intend to use some of them as we pray. So let's pray. The seraphim were calling, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Heavenly Father, we know we are coming before a holy God, and we worship you in the beauty of that holiness. We honour your name. We thank you that you are so holy, we cannot even approach you, but you have approached us. And some of your holiness is revealed through the scriptures, through those like seraphim who behold your face. But Isaiah responded, "Woe to me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." Job likewise said, "I am unworthy. I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." And Simon Peter fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Lord, we are very conscious of the difference between you and us. There's nothing that recommends us. We are not simply unprofitable. We are unworthy. and yet you look down on us. What is man? But he is your creation and your beloved, and such are we. But we know that this is not the conclusion of your dealing with us. Long before the birth of your Son Jesus on earth, you commanded, "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." And through the death of your Son, we are told that by that one sacrifice you have made perfect those who are being made holy. So you intend us to be holy, but it is not something we can accomplish through our own efforts. We need your grace. We need your discipline. For we read that God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. And so we are in awe of your holiness. We respond in our frailty, and we submit to your loving discipline in the knowledge that your work in us is set to set us apart from sin that so easily besets us, and to set us apart for, and ultimately to share in your glory. We thank you for that glorious privilege. And as we go through our week, we ask you to remind us of these things so that we can live for you. And so we commit our lives to you as individuals, as a church, as a fellowship, as your people walking on earth, that we may truly be your representatives, set apart from sin, and set apart for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, if you were watching your television at the moment instead of being at church, you would hear an announcement something like this. They're in a change to the advertised programme. If you've been looking up Matthew chapter 6, sorry, you'll have to alter that. The reading this morning is actually Acts chapter 8 and verses 26 to the end, and it can be found on page 1101 of the church Bibles. At the moment in here, it sounds like the wind rustling through leaves. All right, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to the end. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Holy Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or somebody else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Laurie makes a good point. If you can see one of these on your in front of you or on the back of the news sheet this morning, the website is there. For those of you who are new and you don't know what that site address is, it's on these. Please take them with you and have a look later on. Thank you, Laurie. We're going to sing before Andrew comes and talks to us. We're going to sing, God of Grace, I Turn My Face. To you I cannot hide. Your grace, it says, clothes me in righteousness. We talked about righteousness earlier on, about being right with God. Because if we are, then the Spirit can work in us and move us, and we can do great things in his name. We'll hear some more about that, I'm sure, coming up. So let's stand and let's sing together. God of Grace, I Turn My Face.
You can hear me. Am I on? Yes, good. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we pray that you'd reveal more of yourself to us and your plan for our lives as we open your living word. Lord, may our eyes see, our ears hear, and our hearts respond. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thought I was going to have a quiet Sunday, having been to Gloucester the last couple of days, travelling around, nearly 300 miles of driving and speaking.
Let's just move out. But the Lord has other plans.
Funnily enough, I was sitting this morning at breakfast, just quietly downstairs, thinking, what if I had to speak today, what would I say? And then George rings me at 9:15 and suddenly I'm thrown in the deep end. But it's always good to be prepared. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared, it says there. And so there was something on my heart that I didn't bring when I spoke back in January. And this year our motto verse is, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And this passage in Acts 8 came to mind. I didn't say much about it in January, but I thought, well, let's have a little look at this today. In fact, the original passage that Doug would have read, Matthew chapter 6, was read at our wedding. Do not worry. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That was at our wedding. And actually it was being videoed, and my grandfather, you could see him sniggering at the end of that verse. But anyway, we're in Acts chapter 8 today. And really thinking about that motto text, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. And so turn with me to the reading that Doug gave to us, Acts chapter 8. I wanted to give a little background, really, to this. I'm not going to speak for too long this morning because I was suddenly scrambling some notes. But Acts chapter 8, I want to think about Philip. We don't often hear about Philip in the scriptures. He comes up from time to time, but it's not someone you think of straight away when you think of the disciples, Philip. Well, turn with me, keep your finger in Acts chapter 8, turn with me to John chapter 1. We'll go on a little discovery here about Philip. John chapter 1 and verse 43. Here Jesus is finding his early disciples, his crew, as it were, to follow him around, the inner circle of followers. And it says here in verse 43, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, finding Philip. There he is, first mention. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. And then it says, Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael. So Philip decided to follow Jesus, and then he found Nathanael and told him, we've found the one Moses wrote about in the law, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael says, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Philip says, come and see. Right from the outset, Philip is encouraging others to come and see Jesus, to find Jesus for themselves. So that's the early mention of Philip. Then turn with me to John chapter 14. After some very famous words that Jesus spoke, John 14 and verse 5, where Thomas says to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Exclusively through Jesus only do we come to the Father, to know God. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, there we are, there's Philip again. Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time. So there we have another occurrence where Philip is mentioned interacting with Jesus. Then Acts chapter 1. We're getting closer to Acts chapter 8, but Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. After Jesus has ascended into heaven through the clouds, which is why we think heaven is upwards, because we see Jesus going through the clouds into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 13, Philip is there. Look, when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. So they're returning to their room where they're staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas. So he's still one of the disciples at that time. And then Acts chapter 6, getting very close now. Acts chapter 6. Philip is chosen as one of the seven to help with the distribution of food.
And you see there, Acts chapter 6, in those days when the number of disciples were increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit. That's quite key to what we're going to look at in a minute. Full of the Spirit and wisdom. Proposals pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Also Philip. So Philip is chosen as one of the 7, like a deacon, really helping with the distribution of food. And then we go to Acts chapter 8, where he comes again in a slightly longer section. Acts chapter 8, those who had been scattered, this is verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. So Philip goes to Samaria, Gentile territory. They were actually enemies of the Jews. So he goes to that place. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. There was great joy in that city. Great joy in that city as Philip proclaimed the Christ there. And then we read about Simon the sorcerer who tried to pay money for the Holy Spirit. And Philip rebukes him. And at the end of that little section, verse 25 of Acts 8, when they testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. And then we go into Philip again. And we arrive at the passage Doug read to us. So Philip is an evangelist in Samaria. And here we are. He's suddenly sent by an angel of the Lord to go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he's been preaching to the crowds, but now he's going to preach or come alongside personally someone. So, you know, it goes from that public proclamation now to a personal time with someone sharing the gospel. And here, this desert road from Jerusalem to Gaza was about 50 miles long. And Gaza being a city port, it was a trade route up to Jerusalem. If you look at the map, it was like a trade route and an important highway at that time. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road. So he starts out. He is obedient. He's obedient to the Lord, to the angel of the Lord. And he goes on his way and he meets an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official. He was a Jewish official because he'd been to Jerusalem to worship. So he'd been to Jerusalem to worship. He was Jewish. He was returning. And he was like a chancellor to the Ethiopian queen. So he's a very important person. He'd obviously taken leave from his duties and he'd gone to Jerusalem to worship there as a Jewish official. And he was on his way back. And he's sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit tells Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Just to mention that I've been to Ethiopia in 2013. I was there with Louis Palau Association and preached at some churches. We had a huge campaign in Addis Ababa, the capital. And it's taken that this man who came to Christ really birthed the church there in Ethiopia. This was a really important engagement for Philip to come alongside this man. And that's why it's recorded as such. Here, it's not an angel that tells Philip, it's the Spirit that tells Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip runs to the chariot. He must have been a good sprinter, in my mind, to actually run up to the chariot and to keep up with it. And he hears the man reading Isaiah the prophet. I want to pause there. Here we have a man in Philip who's available to the Saviour, who's totally under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. He is obedient. And we see that very clearly here, a man who is moving with the Spirit. He is keeping in step with the Spirit here. He's available to the Saviour. And it's not about our ability when it comes to evangelism and sharing Jesus with others. It's about our availability, being available to him. Or I heard recently another quote, God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. He gives us all that we need to do his work by his Holy Spirit. And here, Philip is totally available to the Saviour. So he runs up to the chariot, and the Ethiopian is reading Isaiah the prophet, and he asks him a question. And it's good sometimes to ask questions of people. When we've been out surveying, Richard and I sometimes, and others go out, we ask a few questions. If it's right, what are your spiritual beliefs? Who do you say Jesus is? Would you like to know more? You know, use questions to prompt the conversation. Here, Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? There's an open door, isn't there? An opportunity. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him in the chariot. He's probably quite relieved at that point if he was running alongside. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And of course, that's speaking about Jesus. As if you look at Isaiah 53, it all relates to the coming promised one who would bear the sins of the world. And it's describing Jesus. And so the eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is this prophet talking about? Himself, Isaiah? Is it Isaiah talking about himself or someone else? Of course, it's the Lord Jesus. And Philip begins with that very passage of scripture and tells him the good news about Jesus. So Philip is not only adaptable, available to the Saviour, he's acquainted with the scriptures. He knows the scriptures, which of course would be far less at that time, but he's able to use what he has to share the good news of Jesus. That's what we're thinking about, isn't it? This morning, if Andy was here, he'd be talking about the good newspaper, full of good news, the good news of Jesus. So he's acquainted with the scriptures. Now, how about you and I? If someone asked from Isaiah 53, who is this talking about? Would we be able to expand and share the good news of Jesus? Are we ready for that? There's a challenge. Know your Bibles well. That's why we're encouraging our young people to read through the scriptures this year using that daily bread resource so that they know their scriptures more, their lives are shaped by it more. Be acquainted with the scriptures, ready for those opportunities to share the good news when it comes. And then, as they travelled along the road, and we believe at this stage that the Ethiopian truly believed, and actually there's a verse missing, I'll come to that. Verse 37 isn't included in the main text. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water, why shouldn't I be baptised? And if you look at the footnote, if you have this, some late manuscripts have verse 37. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For whatever reason, that's been added as a footnote. But that's quite an important moment there. He truly does believe. And now it's time to be baptized. Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So Philip is adaptable to the situation as well. They just found water, they got on, and he was baptized. There was no waiting a few months later to enter into a pool or whatever it is. They found water, he was baptized. Jesus did the same. When the crowds were pressing in around the lake, Jesus used a boat as a preaching platform. You know, he adapted to the situation. So the Ethiopian is baptized. And then as soon as that happens, Philip is on his way. He has new instructions. The Holy Spirit is sending him out to preach again. When they come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly takes Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So again, Philip is out there preaching to the masses, to the crowds, after this personal encounter. So what we see in Philip is he's available to the Saviour. He obeys the Holy Spirit. He keeps in step with the Spirit wherever he's sent. J. John calls it the quiver in his liver. That's his expression of, you know, conviction and what to do, where to go next. He's acquainted with the scriptures. He can explain the good news, taking the words there from Isaiah 53. And he's adaptable to the situation. He baptizes when there's water. He's ready for anything. How about us? Are we ready? Are we prepared, like Philip, to be sent? Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 19, "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I will send you to be fishing for others into the kingdom." That's part of following. Following leads to fishing for others. I was reading just the other day, Jeff Lucas. I love his blend of humor and teaching. And Anna and I are going through his devotional this year. And he says this about fishing. "I've tried fishing and I hate it. I offer profound respect to those of you who delight in parking yourself on a freezing muddy bank for 3 days at a time, going without basic sanitation and warmth so that you can hook a fish, admire it and perhaps photograph yourself holding it, and then return it to the water. I'm sure that this behaviour is perfectly normal. I'd just rather go to the fish and chip shop where less waiting is required and the fish come helpfully clothed in batter. But my few forays into fishing have taught me one simple truth: you have to go and get them. No fisherman spreads out a net on the bank in the hope that the fish will obediently hop in. But sometimes when we hope and pray that people will show up on Sundays, we adopt a come and hear approach to mission rather than the biblical go and tell formula. Going may involve changing jobs, enrolling in or leaving college, moving out of our comfort zones to touch a life, mugging a neighbor with kindness, or crossing the street Good Samaritan style to help someone in need. Of course, all this is costly. Being a missionary means that we are willing daily to be interrupted, like Philip, really. And we might not enjoy the experience. There's no reason to believe that Jonah was any happier about the second call than he was the first. I've been in some prayer meetings when the cry went up, 'Send them in, Lord.' Perhaps God's reply was simple: go to where they are, people." Some challenging words. Go to where they are. And that's what we do with the good newspaper. We take it out to our neighborhood. We deliver it. It's full of good news stories, life stories, in a paper format. And even by dropping one of these once when I was at London City Mission through a door, a lady came to faith. I didn't even speak to her, but she came to faith by reading these stories. Let's be taking the good news out to our neighborhood. Shall we pray? Lord, we place ourselves before you just like Philip was ready to move and to act as you prompted him, as you guided him. Help us to do the same, Lord, and to be your people prepared to take out the good news of Jesus, to explain it to others in a relevant way. And so we pray you would empower us by your Holy Spirit, fill us up more with your presence so that, Lord, we can do your will and be ready for that moment when it comes, the opportunity comes, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing to finish the song, "By Faith We See the Hand of God." Let's stand and sing. blessing as we go from here this morning. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may that same God of peace equip you with his Holy Spirit, with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.